Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West. Avengers Endgame spoiler discussion review extravaganza. I'm one of your hosts, Nat. With me today is
Pat
and Alex.
Yay! All right, Pat, why don't you start us off? Things you loved, what your overall experience with the movie was. Go for it.
You know, for being a three hour and some change film, it did not feel like that at all. I got out of there, it finished, and what? That's it? That was 3 hours? Yeah. It was a very well made film, I feel. There was a lot of stuff happening, but it didn't feel, the pacing was perfect. It wasn't too fast, it wasn't too slow. It was when it needed to be.
Yeah.
The way that the whole story progressed was extremely and so logical in such a way that I'm like, how were fan theories not already about this? I mean, I'm sure there were a few people that had already figured it out, but predominantly I'd never seen a lot of spoilers for it, just because it went in such a direction that I don't think anybody was expecting, and they telegraphed it very well.
Yeah.
Positive reviews. Alex, what do you think?
Everything happened that I expected to happen, and I was really happy with the way that it laid out, because there wasn't any, like, honestly, I didn't feel like it was that surprising of a movie to me. Like, nothing happened that I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Except for the
incredible in your mind then, because I was like, but anyway, continue.
Oh no, yeah. The only thing that I probably didn't expect it was spoiler. So, was Nat dying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I knew that we were gonna lose Tony and obviously Cap. I thought Cap's death was gonna be a lot quicker than it was. I will admit, I didn't think that he would get the opportunity that he had, but. I mean, I expected both those. Yeah,
I had a full prediction that the exact thing that happened to Cap was going to happen.
I thought one or the other was going to happen with Cap and Iron Man. I didn't think they were going to do both.
No, I knew we were going to lose both.
I predicted both to a T that those things were going to happen. Did it make me any less satisfied? Oh, hell the fuck no. I was completely satisfied.
I didn't guess the way that Tony died. I knew he was going to. I just didn't think he was going to die the way that he did. I should have expected it. Because it was Tony, and that's totally something he would have done, but...
Yeah.
Well, he's never been the guy to make the sacrifice play.
Yeah, I didn't really expect, Black Widow to die at all. That was unexpected. Although I had a friend who was like, oh, she's definitely going to die, but that's going to be the inciting factor that brings the Hulk back. And I was like, oh, that would have been cool, but... No, they're just like, oh, the Hulk's back now.
when they started the discussion of getting the stones... I was like, oh no, they're going to put Clint and Nat on Vormir, aren't they? That's how they're going to set it up. One of them will have to die to get the Soul Stone. Oh no. Like, just during the conversation, so before they actually split into teams, in my head I went there.
I didn't even think about that, actually.
I knew it. Once Vormir, the word was spoken, I was like, shit.
Well, because I didn't actually think...
That didn't even click in my brain until they got there, and then I was like, oh my god, this is where Thanos sacrificed Gamora, so, like, what the fuck are we gonna do now?
And I guess I was... Because they never said that it has to be, like, a person that you love the most. It's just, like, whatever you love the most. And I thought they were going to, like, do something like Hawkeye was going to throw his bow down the... I don't know. Obviously not that, but... And then I was, like, I was kind of confused because I was like, wait, they've been in love this whole time? Since when? Does Captain America know about this?
But it isn't that kind of love. Like, it was their love as, like, their brother and sister in a way, you know?
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And that was kind of like... I think they've saved each other so many times that it was just like one of them knew that they weren't going to have to be there. They couldn't be there anymore. And it made sense for Nat's arc to me as well, that she becomes the leader of the desperate Avengers that are doing these different missions. You know, she's the central element. So it was her journey to do this. I have to say the thing that surprised me the most was the simplicity of how the story unfolded. I was in my head, I couldn't get around the idea of how does an Avengers team with Captain Marvel lose? Like, how did they lose? Because I was like, there has to be either another dimension or a time jump. And I'm like, they telegraphed with the hair changing between characters in the trailers. So I'm like, how do they do that? How do they lose? And I completely didn't factor in the idea of they didn't. They actually won. They killed Thanos, but it didn't matter, so they have to time jump. That blew my mind. That was such a, like, such a beautiful way of setting the story is, no, our heroes failed, but they don't lose. They failed to do what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I think it's wild that they kind of just combined two different worlds. So, like, it's really weird because they didn't go back and, like, change the 5 years that the people had been without people. They just, like, added those people back into the current timeline, which is super wild to me because there's so many things that could be changed in the world. That means, you know, all the people that Peter went to school with are no longer in high school. They've graduated. They're in college or working.
There is that. And that leaves some really interesting storytelling opportunities available. Mm. And that it elevates the stakes because, yes, a lot of people came back. I mean, a huge number of people came back. But the sacrifice that was paid was 5 years. Like, there are 5 years of your life, like, in the case of Scott, that 5 years he just doesn't get back with his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and there's 5 years that she never gets back with her dad. Like, that's a sacrifice you've paid. You now, like, you've lost time. You're talking about time. Cassie? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that I thought was really incredible. Do we have any negatives to speak of about the movie before we get into our bombastic talking about different elements of the film?
Kind of. So I was really confused when Peter did go back to school at the end and Ned was there. Does that mean that Ned was one of the snapped?
Yes.
Like, among the... Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I figured that Ned would have been, like, 5 years older.
Right.
So...
But not having Jacob Batalon as the actor in that role would be a missed opportunity because...
Oh, yeah.
He's way too good as Mickey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, excuse me, as Ned. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's at least a couple negatives. I can't really put my finger on them.
My biggest negative about the movie is that it's not a standalone film. Whereas I feel like Infinity War stands on its own, and this is a nitpick. I mean, I'm saying this in the sense that this is a series finale. Why do you watch a series finale without watching the rest of it? Like, you kind of have to. Like, this is a movie that is built on the foundations that were laid before. Like, it's not a movie that stands
by itself. It's been a huge buildup, a 12-year buildup. Yeah. So that's not something you can just watch and be like, oh, cool.
Yeah, like, passively be like, yeah, cool, I'm good.
What are you doing with your life?
One of the things I really enjoy about the fact that it's not a standalone film is that the different movies that have spoken to you in the past will also give you a nice moment in this movie. Like, you get... It doesn't matter which movie that is. Because they very much the movies are important. Like, everything has a piece to play in this giant puzzle.
Yeah.
Even the ones that people, like, often malign are big pieces to what happened in this film.
You know, speaking of pieces that were big, people that were big pieces to this film, that is one of my negatives, is that Natalie Portman didn't have a single speaking line.
I'm not even sure she... was
and then I don't in even the movie. I don't even think that she was in it, even though they credited her at the end.
Right, I think they gave her a credit for using old footage.
Yeah, but, oh man, that's... Sorry, as a fan of Jane Foster, Thor, yeah. And
I general. Don't like Natalie Portman.
I love Natalie Portman, but she doesn't love the franchise, and I think that that's kind of, like... The fact that they were able to use her at all made that moment more poignant. But yeah, it would have been nice to get some speaking roles.
I've seen her in other good roles. I just don't particularly like her as Jane. I don't think she really pulls it off.
Interesting. Fair enough. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fair enough. But that's a discussion for another time.
Right.
So speaking of, I guess, negative things, then positives. Like, what were some or all of the highlight moments?
There were a lot of Easter eggs. Like, little drops that was like, they could do another movie out of that. Or they could make a TV show out of that. There's a lot that they could do with
that. Another, that scene at the end, once again, spoilers, if we haven't said
right,
it enough,
yeah, I mean,
at Iron Man's funeral, when they're panning across each individual group, every time the camera, like, lingers, that's a different movie franchise right there.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like 10 different groups of people or something.
Something like that, yeah.
That, yeah. And it's panning back and forth, and they're all, like, related together. You see, you know, Sam and and Bucky standing together. And
which they
they're totally in your TV show.
Yeah, they have a TV show already, which I think now will probably be renamed.
Mm-hmm. Hawkeye and his family too. With yeah, with their new TV show.
I think the Hawkeye TV show might actually be him opening up an archery school, and that's how we get Kate Bishop.
I thought it was just going to be about his daughter.
I see, and I don't think they're going to. Too many people are huge fans of Kate specifically that you couldn't just do like a character shift. Yeah, like it needs to be Kate. But if he opened up like an archery class and that was where it started, was showing him teaching his daughter, and now he can, you know, bring on actual students, mm-hmm. and that's where you bring in Kate, is she becomes a student of Hawkeye, and then becomes Hawkeye.
Or his dad, like, hires him as, like, her private tutor or something, because he's, you know, like, a billionaire CEO of some company or whatever. And you have, like, the spoiled rich girl meets, like, the gritty, like, Hawkeye
story. Yeah, the farm family man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Part of the reason that the kid at the end had really confused me. Like, I didn't recognize him at all, because he was, like, how old when Iron Man 3 came out?
Yeah, he was a big part of Iron Man 3.
So I thought that he was just some ominous character that they were like, oh, this is going to be one of our next movies in the new phase. I mean, it still could be.
He could still, like, there's thoughts that he might be Iron Lad, like they might try to do some Young Avengers stuff, and since he's a pre-introduced character who's worked with Tony and the Armors, that it might be something to do there.
I don't know, I don't just keep Gwyneth Paltrow as Rescue. And
I don't think she wants to do any more of these movies.
You don't think she does? Mm-hmm.
But what to talk about standout performance.
Yeah.
That's okay, so that is a highlight for me, is that some of the characters' best performances of their entire MCU run were in this film. I think Nebula, Karen Gillan's performance was the best she delivered. I think unequivocally Gwyneth Paltrow, that is the best performance she's given. And I think it's Tony Stark. I think it was Robert Downey Jr.'s best performance.
Yeah.
So
I think, I was not expecting it, because I knew, like I said, I knew Iron Man was going to die. And then when he did, in the end, I was doing my best to not cry. I didn't cry. It's just someone was chopping onions in the theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I actually have a list of crying moments in the movie, yeah.
So, oh, there were some good moments. Stanley. It's like you laughed, you cried, you were heartbroken.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, there's a lot in the movie that... Oh, well, I want to talk about my crying moments, because I thought it was interesting the different things that hit me on which level. I cried with Cassie and Scott meeting each other again after 5 years.
Yeah.
There was a weird, like, he was so honest in that performance. Oh, there you go. That's actually, I think, Paul Rudd's best performance as Ant-Man occurred in Endgame as well.
Yeah. It's because it's actually, like, you get to see his dramatic, like, side, which he does have some good dramatic chops.
He does. He got me to tears. Mm-hmm. The way he says, you're so big.
Mm-hmm.
Thor wanting the gauntlet at the very, the beginning of the third act. When he begins and starts crying, saying, let me do something good for once. That got me. Because they played Thor for laughs for a lot of the movie, but in that moment, that wasn't a laugh. That was definitely somebody who really felt the weight of his failure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because him being washed up, which is hilarious.
Oh, it's fantastic. Washed up,
you know, pot belly, Thor, just, you know.
Thor Lebowski.
Yeah, Thor Lebowski. Yeah, he literally has the hair and everything. And oh, man. I thought that was great. And, yeah, then he gets that moment of, like, no, like, he is, like, there's a reason that he's been secluded playing video games and drinking beer. Like,
yeah.
It's not funny.
Using the hammer or using the axe as a bottle opener, you know, like, that's fucking, like... That's dark stuff. That's not... Yeah.
I almost thought it was going to lead into the unworthy storyline that he was like... Especially when Captain America picked up the Mjolnir. Yeah. Because I thought, oh, that means, you know, maybe Thor's, like, become unworthy of the hammer. And I totally thought that was going to be the storyline there.
Well, and I think that I'm glad they didn't play that. And the reason I'm glad is because I think him submitting to his depression made him worthy. It took him away from being this arrogant god, and that was a lot of the story, is that are gods ever worthy? Like, that was the part of the notion in the comics. And it humanized him to the point of, because he recognizes that he's not ready for this, and he says it several times, like, I'm not ready to do this, I'm not ready to do this,
mm-hmm.
that was what made him worthy, was recognizing that this is hard. This was not an easy decision for him to make. I'm glad they didn't do that, because I liked, I mean, fuck yeah, I cheered when he pulls, when he reaches both hands out. Well, I knew what was coming. I knew we were getting the hammer and the axe, and I was freaking out in the theater. Other crying moments for me, Sam Wilson getting the shield. That was a big one. That was, not only did I tear up, I started crying when I was running the next day, thinking about that moment.
Do you think you teared up more for Captain America or Sam Wilson?
Sam, because as a person of color, like, having the mantle of Captain America passed to the black character, that was a big deal for me. That was, especially it's his line delivery, or Cap's line delivery of saying it isn't. I mean, he's like, it still feels like it's somebody else's. Like, it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that part, too. I wasn't crying, but I definitely got chills, because that's probably one of my favorite Captain America runs. So I'm really excited that they're going to do that now as Sam Wilson Captain America.
Yeah.
Super excited to see where they go with that.
They also didn't make, like, a huge deal of it. Like, they didn't throw it in your face. It was just like, this is a nice scene. Here it is for all of our fans.
Yep, this is what it should be.
It's so well done. Like, yeah, and, like, I kind of didn't see that coming, but I knew, like, right when they were like, oh my gosh, he's missed his time jump. What's happening? I was like, oh, he's old man Rogers now.
Yep.
You knew something was going to happen the second they were like, what do you mean he's not back?
Yeah.
It's like,
and then he's just sitting there. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Next to the lake.
I looked the first time, I looked the second time I saw it to see if, like, he was sitting at the lake beforehand.
Yeah.
But they do not give you any shot where the bench would be. Yeah. So, like, walking up, there's not, like, a shot of, an old man sitting at the bench. There's just, they're almost right there when the scene cuts. Because I was like, oh, is he there? It's not like I was searching for it. The other crying moment for me before we move on to other stuff was cheeseburgers.
Oh.
Ooh. With Tony's daughter sitting with Happy Hogan and asking her what she wanted to eat if she was hungry, and she says cheeseburgers, and it harkens all the way back to Iron Man 1 when he comes back and says, I need an American cheeseburger and I need to do a press conference. Cheeseburger first. And it was this moment of, like, it was so honest, and Happy looked like he was on the verge of tears and just going, I'm gonna get you all the cheeseburgers you want.
He did, and I didn't really get that, but now that you said
that. Oh my
god,
I'm almost gonna cry.
Right? Seriously, like, ugh. Love You 3000, right?
Stop! Oh my god!
Alright, so moving from crying moments, cheering moments, because I think the theatrical experience is a big part of what made this film so enjoyable for me.
I think halfway between crying and cheering moments, we mentioned Stan Lee. Yes. Aside from Into the Spider-Verse, I think this is probably the second most poignant cameo that Stan Lee has made in all of his the Marvel movies. Just make love, not war. God damn, if there's any more... There's not any more of a Stan Lee statement to make ever. And
was he playing himself in that moment? Like,
because it's in the 70s. Which is funny, because that's, like, right around the time that he was doing, like, all the big, like, essentially creating this whole, the whole MCU is pretty much in that time when they flash back to
Yeah, it was the early 60s, or the early 60s, and then the 70s is, like, the big when everything hit, so.
So, it was, I guess, coming off at the end of creating all this stuff, and,
That was really good.
That was a crying and cheering moment.
Okay. Oh, sorry. No, I'm so sorry.
I was going to ask you what cheering moments you had.
Cheering moments? Hail Hydra.
Oh,
That was so brilliant.
That had no reaction in my second viewing. The first viewing at the Griffin showing, it was the theater exploded. It was like taking it back, you know? Like, it was so good to be in that
reaction.
Moment.
Are
no
you
reaction.
Serious? Oh,
well,
my
that's,
God.
That's such a specific nod to comic book fans. Yeah. Like, the average Avengers goer, I don't mean to, like, poo-poo on people that like it, but that's specifically for Marvel Comics fans.
Yes. And and it was just like that. Yeah, that's a great moment.
That was such a good moment.
Oh, man. I didn't think I was going to react as much as I did, but yeah, when Captain America picked up the hammer,
that, to me, could be one of the greatest moments in superhero cinema.
Really?
Because in the moment that he gets it, he also ends up showing up Thor in terms of how well he fights with the damn thing. Like, it harkens back to Dark World usage, like spinning the hammer perfectly, calling upon the lightning, like shooting the lightning up and then dragging it down and shooting it at a Thanos that's been downed on the ground. It was like fucking perfect. It was so well done. And Thor's reaction. I knew it.
He was so supportive of it.
He was the audience at that moment,
I like it at the one point when they get the wrong one, and then he's like, I think you have mine.
You take the little one. Oh, and like Rune King Thor with the pot belly and the braided beard taking both of them. That was fucking great.
Odin Thor.
Yes.
The scene where Cap fights himself and he's just like, I could do this all day.
Yeah, I know.
Sighs and he's like, yeah, I know.
That is America's ass.
Oh my God. That's so good. He's laying in the position too, and it's a really, really, like, it's like, it almost harkens back to the classic, like, female superhero, like, covers and stuff, like, the way he's laying there and everyone's talking about his ass.
Oh, it's so, good.
I was kind of surprised that they said ass so many times in a Disney movie, referring specifically to how sexy his butt is.
They beheaded Thanos in the first 10 minutes of the movie, like...
And then what about Ronan's, like, we're just going to slash him across the throat and blood's going to be spilling out of his hand as he's covering his... I was like, this is PG-13, right? Like,
that's crazy.
It is like... They pushed the violence to a point that I was surprised by.
Yeah.
Man, the big three fighting, though, too, when they get to Thanos. And whew, just, like, such good choreography, the way that they fight.
Who the big three are?
Captain Iron Man and Thor.
Oh, and Thor. Nice.
Oh, Thor is one of the big three?
Yeah, I would say so. Original Avengers, you know.
Yeah, I also, sort of speaking again about, like, teasing more franchises or whatever, during the final battle when all, you know, 10 or a dozen female superheroes all lined up together, I was like, A-Force!
Talk about another cheering moment. Our theater was like, yeah!
And they did such a perfect, like, super, like, slow, like, zoom or pull, like, pan across with all of them standing up and then, you know, oh my God, it was perfect cinematic. And then when they're all shooting at Thanos too, there's like four of them, that like Captain Marvel, Shuri.
Oh my God, can we talk about like the head bash?
That was
so brilliant.
Captain Marvel was utilized perfectly in this movie. Because they did the great Scarlet Witch moment where Scarlet Witch is kicking Thanos' ass. Like, he is on the back foot and he says, rain fire, and to stop Scarlet Witch. And, you know, even his generals are like, what about our troops? Rain fire! Just didn't let it happen. And all the cannons are shooting down. And then all of a sudden the cannons start tilting upward. You're like... In the theater, my heart was pounding because I knew it. I knew we were going to see the bright light coming through the skies, and it was going to be Captain Marvel coming down. And
it was like, I actually didn't know that for a minute. Like, I was like, well, because
they tee you up in the beginning where they almost are saying, okay, this is it. We've done our Captain Marvel cameo already. She's like, you're not going to see me for a while.
Yeah.
So there was a point in my head that I'm like, are they just not going to have her in the rest of the movie?
She had to come in the end. But when they introduced her, you can't even see her because she's just a comet.
Right, exactly.
You can't even see, like, a person in there. It's just a giant ball of light, like,
and I think
screeching through the sky.
Rocket is the first person to cheer, which is, like, so... Rocket was also fantastic in this movie because he was much more, like... down to earth. But yeah, he sees the comet and he's like, yeah! Because, you know, he's worked so closely with Carol over the course of the 5 years that they built that relationship intrinsically into it.
That was so, good. When he goes to headbutt her and literally, like, they use, like, a metallic sound effect too, like, like a really dull metallic sound effect. Oh, like it's God, not
yeah.
like
yeah.
like it's just a giant wall of steel or something.
That's a great fight sequence.
And then he has to like use the power stone to actually punch her. That's like, oh man,
so good, so like well choreographed, because they basically mirror the sequence with Captain America pushing his hand up, but she's like to the point of almost snapping his wrist backwards, yeah. you know, and it's like...
She has that, like, little smirk on her face, too. I don't know why people don't say she doesn't smile enough, mm-hmm. because she has that little smirk on for 90%
of her screen
time.
She smiles at Peter, too! It's like, hey, Peter.
Oh, she totally did.
She totally... Hi, Peter Parker. Hi, Peter Parker. You got something for me? It was such a cute,
that,
like...
That was a cute
It was like a mom moment, you know? Like, and oh, that, I think that's something that's really cool
mostly
to play with
the
character.
Mostly because he looks like he's half-destroyed in that moment.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Speaking of half-destroyed, Hulk with the gauntlet, Hulk in general in this movie, yeah. I want to not... We have to talk about Hulk. Hulk is, like, Professor Hulk was so great. Look at me, I'm wearing shirts now.
It took me a minute just to get over like the face difference because like he's animated a lot
Weird.
Differently now, a lot closer too. It looks like a giant Mark Ruffalo
exactly.
face. Like the stubble and everything.
But I like the fact too that the directors leaned into it when he meets up with Valkyrie and they're like, she's like, I liked either the other way is better. Yeah. It was like almost to tell the audience, like, it's okay. You could have your favorite version of Hulk. This is fine. You don't have to love this.
Professor Hulk.
I also thought the way that the movie handled depression through Hulk and through Thor was really, really interesting. And through Black Widow. Like the movie tackled depression very subtly, but very really, where, Banner talks about the fact that he spent his entire life fighting with the Hulk, but it was succumbing to it and just being mm-hmm. like, I have to live with this. I have to be okay with what this is. And in doing so, he became stronger in a different way.
And also then if you take it like Thanos, our version of Thanos in the beginning, mm-hmm. like when he's done, man, that guy was, I was actually sad for him when Thor cut his head off. I was like, dude, just leave this guy alone at this point.
Right.
He is in a bad way.
He's in a bad way.
Yeah. If anything, like, I wanted one of them to be like, hey, big guy, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Yeah. That's,
God, now I just want to go see it again.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's funny because the movie is so easy to watch. It's so easy to watch it. The movie lives in the apocalypse for a while. Like, it takes its time letting you see how bleak it is for people. Because half of the population, I think, is something that we understand, like, from a visual standpoint. But you're talking about half of all leadership, half of all entertainment, half of your friends. Like, it's if you start breaking it down to what that means, it's like your infrastructure breaks down.
You know, I love how simple they made the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, when you're watching the commercial and you think that Tony and Nebula are totally stuck, something as simple as just having Captain Marvel bring them back to Earth was,
well,
like,
and
that
I
was
got,
such a simple solution.
Yeah, I think they did exactly. a lot of off-screen stuff. I feel like Pepper got the messages. That's why she was the first person underneath the ship. You know, like, she's ahead of everybody else waiting for things to come down. Pepper got the messages.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they sent Captain Marvel out. We know Captain Marvel had met with the Avengers before this event. We see it at the end of Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The time travel thing. You know, people were like, oh, Tony figures out time travel too quickly. It's like, you didn't get the inference that he's been trying this for the past 5 years? That was part of his nightly routine, and just recently, or within the last year, he said, screw it, I shouldn't be doing this?
Yeah, even if not, like, I expected him to have that kind of stuff on deck from some time.
Yeah.
He was just playing around with it.
I mean, he has a garage set up that literally, or like a room set up to run these diagnostics. It's not like he built that in a day. He's had that was sitting there.
Yeah.
So I got that from the movie that he had been working on this, and that's why he snapped response to everything. He's like, nope, you didn't factor in this. You didn't factor in this. It's like, because he's been through it.
Yeah.
He thought about all of these
and
things.
And also, you know, you have Dr. Bruce Banner in there with him, too, like, helping out.
Yeah.
You know, two guys with, like, 8 PhDs each.
Yeah.
You know, give him some credit. Jeez.
So I kind of hope this next Spider-Man movie doesn't backtrack to before Infinity War, because I really want to see Peter being, like, an older brother to Tony's daughter.
Oh, so bad. That's a great, like, I didn't even think about that, like, having those two interact. Yeah. I also think that they might be pulling a swerve on us, and I think that Flash might be one of the people who survived the snap, and they can position Flash as being a soldier at this point, like, that he's in the military, because his character, when he has a military injury and has his legs... I mean, he gets paralyzed in war.
Yeah.
So you could definitely play with, he's one of the characters that's older, and maybe he's deployed in an area that they've gone to, and that's why he's in the movie.
Yeah, but you see him in the commercial for Far From Home.
Yeah, but how many things in the commercials do they subvert or add or delete? They could just make him aged up. Thor was in the commercials for Infinity War. He didn't look like that in the movie.
Well, they showed him only at the beginning of the movie the same way, though, didn't they?
They show him walking with everybody in the quantum suits and the time travel suits.
Really?
Yeah, huh. And he's not fat.
He's not fat. He has a short hair still, too.
Oh, does he? Oh, shite.
Oh, wow.
They deliberately put things in the trailers that aren't
they
in the movie.
They did. I thought, when I got out of the movie, I was like, that was a lie. They totally put all the things in the commercials that were in the movie. You're right.
You sneaky Russos.
Well, and then think about the de-aging/aging technology that they have. It would be really easy to age up an actor. Just 5 years, too. You're not talking about a lot of stuff that you're doing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, hell, they made Samuel Jackson, like, 20 years younger, so they can easily make someone 5.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where all that lands.
Yeah, now I'm more interested in that movie now than I was before.
Yeah, because at some point they have to mention it, like, because it's got to take place after Endgame, like, timeline wise.
Well,
and for nobody to mention it, like,
it positions Mysterio as easy to drop in a world that no longer has Iron Man in it. Is a new hero that Peter can attach himself to as well, like another mentor character, because his big mentor's gone. I feel like we're forgetting things because there's just so much.
I'm honestly not hyped about this whole Mysterio.
I think it'll be interesting. I want to close on favorite moments, like your legit favorite moment, if you've got one. Mm. I'm going to throw it out. I am a huge fan of the Ancient One and the Hulk meeting up and telling us this is why you have to return the stones. Also, it let us know that the Ancient One played around with the Time Stone, which he refers to the fact, oh, you're about 5 years too early. Doctor Strange is that way, performing surgery. It's like, you've been looking through time, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh, no, that is interesting. I liked all the... I think I did like the little nods to all the other movies they did, especially, like, why is Peter Quill, like, unconscious at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy? And, you know...
The fact that he wasn't just listening to the music and, like, doing lip-syncing, but he was actually singing with his headphones in...
Yeah.
Cracked me the
hell. That was so brilliant.
Because it just showed them, like, looking at him, too, without any of the music.
And I love they stopped and he's just like, so he's an idiot.
Also, Rhodey's best performance was in this movie as well.
Mm. Yeah, he did a great job. I think also Gamora in the end, when Peter Quill, like, goes to hug her and she knees him in the nuts just like twice. Oh, first time you missed, second time you got both of them.
All right, Alex, favorite moment?
Oh my God. Okay, so definitely when Peter and Tony see each other again after the 5 years, and it's so brilliant because Peter is just sitting there rambling on. He's like, so, like, 5 seconds ago, I was, like, disappearing into dust, and then, like, as
Doctor Strange does his spinny ring thing.
Yeah, and then as though, like, Tony had no idea that this had all happened, and you are so adorable.
Oh, and then the hug, and he's like, this is nice. This is nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a fun time. Yeah, I think I do need to go see it again now. Yeah. Number
Same.
Two.
It is a weird film because it's like you have to live in this world to just enjoy it. And it is just it's a satisfying movie.
It is extremely satisfying. I'm very excited to see where Marvel goes in stage 5 now.
Four. Stage 4. Four. Would be
this is 4, so that was the end of stage 3. Enter stage 4. Cool.
Yep.
Nice. Anywho, well... I guess let's all go rewatch it again.
Yeah, go cry some more, everyone.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
But with that, I guess let's say goodbye then. All right.
Bye.